Okay, so this is the meeting of the election committee. Susan, can you call the roll, please?
Yes. Teresa Allen. I know she was on. Teresa, unmute. Teresa.
There she is.
You will see her.
I'm present. Sorry.
Okay, okay, great. Violetta.
Here.
Okay. Jack DePalma.
Present.
Great. Vanessa Dixon Briggs.
Thank you, Violetta, for sending me the Zoom link. I'm here.
Great. Eleanor Elizabeth Foreman.
Present.
Eric Jacobson with, he's an O, right? Eric? Not on at the moment. Avalia.
Avalia would be in earshot at the moment. She said she'd be available for votes if needed.
Right. Okay. She was on before everybody else got on. So I'm if there are no objections, I'm going to recognize her as attending. Lily Kimura.
Here.
Okay. Mac, Sean Kelly McPherson.
I am.
Myla Reason.
Thank you. I'm here. And can I just say, Vanessa, I hope you got the Zoom link from me as well, because I sent it to two of your email addresses that I had. So I hope I have the right one.
You probably do, but I didn't see it. But thank you.
Oh, good. Okay. You're welcome. And I see I put an extra N in your name that I need to take out.
John was there.
John Rhodes is here.
Great. Minerva Sanders. I thought we saw Minerva. Delia's there. Yeah, Violetta. Okay, I'm not seeing Minerva right now. Let's keep our eyes out for her when she comes in. Aki.
I'm here.
Carol Wolfley.
I'm here.
Susan Young. I'm here. Okay, Mr. Chair, we have more than quorum.
Okay, very good. So,
did you call my name?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Who, Avalia?
I was here.
Yeah, we did.
Is Julie Hewitt on the committee?
No, but
Julie Hewitt's not on the committee. She
wants to make a, state. Yeah, she wants to join and make a statement as the chair of the PNB, I guess. All right. So, let's see. I cannot do anything with my screen here.
I think next up, Mr. Chair, is recognizing, reporting the results of the election.
Right. Okay. So we had a, election held, and Terry Goodman certified that the, for the chair, it's me, Aki Tanaka. And then for the secretary, it was Susan Young. And then agenda today is fairly short. Basically, we are behind on the timeline according to the bylaws. So we need to figure out where we are, what we need to do. And so we have initially
Mr. Chair?
Yes,
we have the minutes. The minutes are next.
Okay. Go ahead. You can go ahead with the minutes then.
Great. I'm sorry.
Point of order. Please forgive me. I just see an email from Eric. He's trying to get in. He doesn't have the link.
Can someone send it? You all have it.
I'll send it.
Thanks, Alan.
Okay. Sorry. Good.
Oh, he's in. He's in now.
Okay. He's in. Okay. All right. So everybody's in.
So. We'll recognize, Eric, will you confirm that you're here?
Wait, he's connecting to audio. Now he's connected, he's connected now. He didn't hear you before.
Eric, please confirm that you're here. Okay, let's just keep going. So the minutes, there were two There were two corrections. One was that Jacobson should be with an O, not an E. And another is that once I had Eleanor Elizabeth Foreman's name correct, and another time I made her a Sanders. So with those two corrections, I hope that there is a motion to approve the minutes.
And did you also correct that I was not nominated for chair? Nor did
I. Yeah, I thought that I had that corrected, but I'll make sure it is.
I move to approve the corrected minutes.
Second. This is Myla second, and Carol Wolfley made the motion.
Are there any objections? Hearing none. They're approved. Mr. Chair, they can continue.
Okay, so first thing on the agenda is that Stephanie is here to give us the status of where we are, whose election goes, because we are behind on the timeline. We need to decide on the NES, cleaning up the voter list, and also the finances. So if Stephanie can, you know, give us a report on that, that'd be great.
And perhaps, Mr. Chair, Julie might have a comment.
Yeah, I was going to say I defer to Julie for start this off.
All right. So, Julie, go ahead.
And Minerva Sanders is coming back in.
Yeah, thanks, everyone. Happy to join you this evening to talk for a little bit about this. So, you all, being the elections committee, are well aware of the fact that the first thing that starts, you know, kind of the whole election cycle is the executive director appointing a national election supervisor. And one of the things I wanted to suggest that we do is have Stephanie appoint herself the interim national election supervisor so that we keep the process moving and, you know, the elections process so that we're, you know, looking for all intents and purposes to the world like we really are having elections this year. I think the PMB keeps saying things to that effect, but really, you know, actions speak louder than words. And so we wanted to do something that looked like taking an action. And so now you might say, why are we suggesting that we take this approach instead of actually appointing in an NES who isn't, you know, Stephanie? And the reason that we want to go there is, you know, basically twofold. One is we have been trying really hard to find someone who could serve as the national election supervisor. We've approached a bunch of different people. We've approached some organizations, you know, people who, you know, as the bylaws say, have some expertise in elections, et cetera, you know, have the requisite skills and expertise. But so far we've not been able to identify anyone who's willing to serve as the national election supervisor who, you know, who we have enough money to pay, you know, let's just put it that way. And the other thing that's also happened is, and you may be familiar if you've been involved in other organizations, Pacifica does our elections a little bit differently. And so lots of the people that we've contacted have said things like, well, I'd be happy to do this component of what you're asking, but not, not everything, you know. And it's because they're accustomed to working with other organizations where their election process is a lot more streamlined. And so, you know, it takes a fair bit of time for somebody to be the NES, if you will. So what we want to do is to keep the, you know, mindful of where we are in the year and to keep things moving along is to have Stephanie be the, interim national election supervisor. We will keep looking for someone, right? But the point is, in the meantime, the process can proceed, you know, all the other things that we have to do, because if we don't have a national election supervisor lined up, you know, really soon, it'll be a problem in terms of being able to stick to the deadlines that are, you know, associated with elections that are in the, some of which are listed specifically in the bylaws. Some of the other kinds of deadlines that are listed in the bylaws are, and I don't have them committed to memory at the moment, but they're things like you have to leave at least 30 days between this milestone and that milestone. So any rate, but some of them are firm dates. And so we want to be able to stick with that. And that's why, we're thinking for the short run to have Stephanie be, the interim national election supervisor. And so then with that, I think
I'd like to make a motion to that effect. I'd like to, if I might be recognized.
Sure. Go ahead, Myra.
I move that we, that the PNB appoint,
Point of order.
What?
Point of order. The PNB doesn't have an action in naming the NES. It's the ED. The bylaws call it the ED. We might say that we support, but we're
point of order. The NES has to be a neutral party. It can't be a Pacifican.
It can't be from one station.
Well, why would you say that our executive director is not? Just for the interim until we find someone? I don't understand that.
Carol, for the stack.
Go ahead, Carol.
I'd like to propose a substitute motion, and that is the Pacific Election Committee moves that Stephanie Wells be appointed to serve as the National Election Supervisor. That keeps it simple. There is actually no, for election supervisor, it doesn't say any, it's looser than for local election supervisors. There's a lot of clauses about neutrality, but I think, I think this is an important transition for us to get the election situation going. And like what Julie was saying, some of the tasks can be taken on, and in a neutral way. So that and I think putting it with this wording, the Pacific Elections Committee, I wrote it in the chat, moves that Stephanie Wells, or we could put IED, Stephanie Wells be appointed to serve as the National Election Supervisor.
Not interim, but why not interim, Carol?
Interim, yeah. Interim, yeah. Do you accept that as an amendment, Myla? And put it into
gratefully, yeah.
Point of order?
Yeah.
Yeah, I raised a point of order about whose authority this is. And while I think that it's a great thing if the bylaws say the executive director names the NES, there is no role for the PNB. There's no role for the committee. I think the committee has the authority to say, yes, we think this is a good idea. But does not have the authority to authorize anything.
Well,
Carol,
yeah.
Carol, but, Jack.
Well, hang on. I just want to.
Chair, may I be recognized? This is Jack.
Yeah, sure, Jack. Go ahead.
There are many tasks that could be done by an interim election supervisor that are not directly related to the election. I've been following this now for about a month, and I can name three of them right now that I know of. Number one, getting the list together at the various stations. Number two, selecting how we go about paying or electing. The process, in fact, has to be delineated. And I think number three is a schedule. It doesn't change the fact that somebody comes from one station or the other, that we need a schedule. And I believe that if we don't get off the dime, as the saying goes, we're going to be behind the eight ball, as the saying goes. We should get moving directly with the functional needs that are required by a large organization that may be a little bit disorganized. Thank you.
Okay. Point of order. The bylaws state to be eligible for appointment to the position of the National Election Supervisor, said person shall not be an employee of the foundation or any foundation radio station, or a delegate officer or director of the foundation, or any LSB, or a radio staff member, paid or unpaid. So she can't do it.
Point of order.
Go ahead.
And I'm addressing Elizabeth's point of order.
I'm Eleanor.
Eleanor, I apologize. You've just got a whole boatload of name and I keep stumbling over it. I apologize. She would not be the NES. She would be the interim. And I do believe that this probably merits a consultation with the general counsel.
Right.
Carol, for this doc.
Go ahead, Carol.
So I rewrote it. The Pacifica Elections Committee recommends that Stephanie Wells be appointed to serve as interim national election supervisor. So I put in recommends and interim to try and address the things that the other members of the committee are raising.
Right. Okay. Any other discussion?
Alan for the stack.
Okay.
Could we possibly put a time frame on that? Or put something about until a permanent one is appointed or until she can find someone, or just so people know it's not open ended, like forever.
So we have elections, what?
A motion to amend, and that is interim until a permanent NES is engaged.
Okay.
Okay.
Eric, to the sack, Aki. I have my hands been up.
Sure, go ahead, Eric.
So it sounds like we have to be very careful because the bylaws essentially preclude an employee of the foundation from serving in this position. And we're asking Stephanie to basically appoint herself, an interim. That's also pretty clear that, from the bylaws that the ED appoints. So she'd be appointing herself as an interim. It sounds to me like, really we're asking for trouble again, not following the bylaws. So I think maybe they should be simplified to Stephanie to undertake preliminary steps that would ordinarily be taken by the national election supervisor until a national election supervisor is retained, thereby not directly violating the language of the bylaws. There's no point in doing that. We've just been through litigation, based on, the 6-year term outs and such. And we'd be just stepping in it if we, directly violate by asking Stephanie to appoint herself, which is not allowed for an employee, which she is. So let's be smarter than that and just ask Stephanie if she can fit it on her plate, which is something I wanted to ascertain from her, given that she's, got so many other things that she does, whether she is willing to engage in this preliminary work. I agree with everyone that, time is starting to be a bit of the essence, but
right.
Be careful.
I was saying,
we don't have Arthur here on the line to chime in. Okay.
Well,
I second his amendment.
Yeah, I think it's a good compromise that we don't commit to a actual naming, but doing the task is obviously a volunteer work, and so I think that's a good compromise. And then also PNB can take up this right away tomorrow. So, okay.
Mr. Chair. I need to make sure that we have this motion clear. So what I'm going to do, so I have moved Eric's substitute, if you will, but mm-hmm. we need to write it up. And so I think we need to see, do people support that substitute? and then I'll try to write it and be clear about what it was.
Okay. So just as a general thing, does anybody object to what Eric's substitute motion is?
I object to the whole idea. She can't appoint herself. And
no, no, no. You had to look at the wording of what she is. She's not a, you know, being named as election supervisor at all. She just volunteering some of the preliminary tasks that needs to be done until the national election supervisor is appointed. So that's the workaround that Eric is proposing.
Carol for the stock.
Sure, Carol, go ahead.
Oh, thank you. Well, my concern is what Julie was raising in the beginning, is that there is a timeline and the clock is ticking on this timeline, and the recent court decision is that we have to complete this election by the end of the year, is my understanding. So I would like to check back with Julie if she's still on the call and see, Julie, do you see a problem with the amended proposal? Or do you think we should go with the one that we did before? In other words, is it okay that we're not saying she would be the interim NES, if she would just be working on some of the tasks?
Yeah, I do agree. I think Eric's come up with an elegant solution here. And really what it does is it allows us to, and this is, would be not a bad thing to include in the motion, to something to the effect that, you know, so the rest of the steps may proceed.
Yes.
Okay, good. All right. So is it?
Why don't we get, Arthur Schwartz's, opinion on whether this is legal or not?
Well, yeah, we will. I mean, we'll write it up and then we'll present it to the PNB tomorrow. I mean, there's a PNB meeting tomorrow, so we can take it up right away and we can notify Arthur, you know, of the issue. Main one is that whether we approve or not, the, tasks of the NES or whatever needs to still continue, whether it's named or on voluntary basis, okay? So we're just simply trying to cover ourselves with a, you know, so we don't go against the bylaws, but we can have somebody do some of the tasks that needs to be done. It doesn't have to be an NES to do that. And then it's until the NES is actually appointed. And then we can pass this substitute motion by Eric by Arthur tomorrow.
Mr. Chair, I've put that motion in the chat.
Okay.
Could you read it for those who are not on?
Sure.
Thank
you. Hold on a minute. Get back to the chat. Motion to recommend that ED initiate tasks that will be undertaken by the National Election Supervisor until the National Election Supervisor can be engaged so the rest of the steps may proceed.
I second.
Okay.
May I just recognize?
Sure, Myra, go ahead.
I just want to say that I don't think it's a good idea to use the word volunteer in this scenario. I like the motion. It's perfect, and I really appreciate it, and I support it. But let's not call her a volunteer.
It isn't called a volunteer. It's not in the motion.
Excuse me. I know it's not. Did you hear me say, I know it's not in the motion?
Nope.
Okay. Well, I did. But Aki, just because California nonprofit law precludes employees from being asked to take on volunteer responsibilities.
I see.
So we're just asking her to do these things, but we're not asking her to volunteer per se.
Okay. All right.
Well, that's, if she's doing these extra things without extra pay, it's volunteering.
Not necessarily. Well, it depends on the way she allocates her time, Eleanor.
Mr. Chair, if I could raise a point.
Go ahead.
Sure. Stephanie's purview is very broad, and it is her responsibility to cause elections to happen. And she, if we had money, would be able to do it with an NES. I have not heard anyone come on this phone and say, here is the person, here is the organization who will do this for nothing. Last year it was like $80,000. We have nothing. And we can't sit around and wait to get things done like lists. And frankly, the staff has to get done a lot of the stuff to support the NES as it is. So this is a way to deal with reality.
Okay. So I think that we'll go, you know, we'll have the motion, substitute motion, and we'll present it to the PNB and author tomorrow. It is not a, you know, we're not saying that the ED is the NES, but since ED is going to hire the NES, she can obviously prep all the things that NES has to do and present it to NES, and, you know, this part of that work. So there's nothing wrong with getting, you know, all the information ready for the NES. Who, when they get hired, they be hitting the ground running. So anyway, so any objections to the substitute motion as presented?
I object.
Okay.
This is like Cheney proposing himself as vice president. Since we don't get to select the NES, there's no reason for us to be dealing with this motion in the first place. Stephanie Wells needs to hire an NES. Right. That's all.
I agree. Yeah, go ahead, Carol.
Oh, yeah. Well, I just have a couple things. One thing is there's no money to hire an NES right now, as far as I know. I mean, I'm hoping that Stephanie will give us a little report after. My other question is, Stephanie, are you willing to do this? Are you willing to take this on before we proceed?
Yes, I am, because a lot of the work that needs to be done has been getting done. As far as the, I've received membership lists from two of the stations already. We're working on cleaning those up. We've already talked about having membership drive station wide, so we can encourage people to become members. And the some folks are already starting to work on writing that, you know, become a member so you can vote, your voice matters, and run those across all of the stations. We've already been working on creating the timeline of what needs to be done. A lot of this work by bringing in the NES would have to, you know, I would have to be working with them anyway, to kind of let them know who to talk to, where to get the list, how to clean it up, what we're looking for, what the carts are, when we're going to air them, what the timeline is. So a lot of this work has already been going on. So I don't have an issue at all adding that to what I'm doing, because it has to, you know, it has to be done. And I get questioned on that probably 4 to 5 times a week as to what are we doing and what is the timeline for this.
Mr. Chair, call the question. There's been
Eric
a motion.
Seeks recognition.
Hang on just a minute. Who's on the stack right now?
Eric, is my hand up?
I am.
I don't know.
Eric has his hand up. Hockey.
And I was just on the stack to call the question.
Okay.
My hand's been up, Hockey.
Eric, why don't you just say your piece?
Very briefly, I'd like to insert the word preliminary before the word tasks. So preliminary tasks. I think that's better under all the circumstances. Okay. Preliminary tasks.
And then, Elna?
I'm just torn-swoggled. She can't be the NES or the interim NES or pretending to be the interim NES. She needs to appoint an NES and do it immediately. I have a separate thing to mention. There's when we're you know, I don't think we should be making any such recommendation. But when we're through with this, I have another thing to put on the agenda.
Okay. Can I talk to address Susan for a minute?
No, I will call the roll.
No, well, can I
ask all the questions?
Well, before we call the question, I want to ask Susan, considering the fact that Stephanie says that she's doing all the things that this motion is asking her to do, is this motion necessary?
Yes.
No.
Okay. All right. So if that's the case.
Aki, this is Eric seeking recognition.
Go ahead, Eric.
I want to make that word preliminary as amendment. I'd like it to be in there. I think it's too close. When just say the task, it kind of looks like it's a backdoor interim appointment. Preliminary is okay because an organization can intelligently and thoughtfully do preliminary tasks when they have a court mandate to
open
election.
On the vote with preliminary in it.
Yeah. Okay. So any objection to putting a preliminary? Okay, no objection. So we'll vote on this Susan substitute motion. All right, Teresa?
I'm sorry. This is the motion on the substitute?
It's a substitute motion that Susan presented.
I do object to...
Right, I know, that's for the voting.
Preliminary. It couldn't be anything.
So all right. All right. So we're going to vote on the since it's sort of pretty much same objection to as the substitute motion. Why don't we just vote on the substitute motion, including the preliminary, and then see where we stand here.
So, taking the roll, Teresa.
Okay, Teresa.
Alan passes.
Okay, you pass. Jack?
Yes.
No, look, yes, I call the roll as the secretary.
Oh, sorry.
Thank you,
okay,
Susan.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm so used to being a secretary. You go ahead. Susan, sorry.
Violetta?
Yes.
Yep. Okay, Jack.
Didn't I say yay? Yes.
I didn't hear it. Vanessa.
I'm sorry. Yes.
Abstain.
Okay.
Okay. Eleanor Elizabeth.
No.
Foreman. He is a no. Eric Jacobson.
Yes.
Avalia. She knew she'd have to be in and out. Lily.
Yes.
Mac.
Yes, ma'am.
Got it. Myla.
Yes, indeed.
Sean Rhodes.
Yes.
Okay. Minerva Sanders.
Yes.
Aki.
Yes.
Carol.
Yes.
Susan, yes. We had a pass. Teresa.
Alan says yes.
Okay, so the count then is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 yeses, 1 no, 1 abstention. 1 was not on the call.
Okay, thank you. Now, by the way, this will be, Arthur will get to weigh in on this middle. So we'll go on to the next item, which is to have Stephanie give us a report.
Thank you. A lot of the things we did cover just very briefly in some of the conversations that we've had already. But again, the obstacles that we've sort of had right now as far as trying to find an NES you know, as Susan explained and others have added in and Julie as well, is that we, you know, do have limited financial resources. We are trying to determine ways to, when we have these membership drives on, you know, at each station, telling people to check to make sure their membership is up to date, encourage them to become members, encouraging them that, you know, the power of their vote and letting them get involved in the governance and the structure and, you know, have a voice within the Pacifica world and be a part of this foundation. That money will be going to each of the stations and have it used for their central service payments to be made to the national office to cover election costs and also to cover any sort of local election costs as well. So we will be pinpointing and moving those dollars in that way. But because we do have those limited finances right now, we don't have the money to pay a national election supervisor to start this position. And that has been some of the concerns as we've been talking with a lot of individuals and organizations that are knowledgeable about elections. A lot of them have not wanted to do it for free. We've offered, you know, we've asked, of course, for them to be volunteers. If they're coming from a nonprofit, we've offered to make a donation to their organization after the process is over. But once they look at the scope of what the elections involve, they haven't really either had the staffing that could cover it the way they need to, or they aren't comfortable doing the whole process, just as one individual. So we have had people that would be willing to, you know, well, I'll help clean up the list or I'll help do this. I'll help do that kind of bits and pieces of it. But we really haven't had, the ability to find someone to do one. Fortunately, a lot of organizations and people that we have spoken with, have offered to continue to reach out on our behalf and continue to give us different names of people and organizations that may be willing to help. So in the process of when we started to find someone, which was quite a while ago, we still continue to move forward doing what it is that we needed to do, which is, you know, again, getting those lists together, getting the, I've been in contact with Allegiance, who is our donor software system. And we do have some past aged payables and some past due bills with them. But I have been in conversation with them trying to stress the importance of being able to have better access to the information that we have in there so we can start getting those lists together. But the stations and the general managers and the membership directors have been very good about, you know, trying to put those lists together. As I said, I've received two already. Another one of the groups pulled the list and they could see themselves that there were quite a few duplicates. So they've divided up the list amongst their staff and they're working on confirming and trying to dedupe some of those lists. So once we have all of those, then we will continue with that validation of the list process. We've also been in contact already to reactivate the website that we have used in the past for elections. So all of the individuals who are running will be able to have a section on a website that's devoted just to the elections. People can click on their station that they, on the station that they are connected with and that they will be voting for, and then get a list of their candidates. And then they'll be able to click on each individual candidate and read their statement. And then also click to a video link of the person's statement. So we have been in conversations already to reactivate that website so we can get that up for candidate information, nominations, that sort of thing. We've also been starting to work on an outreach plan. We have, you know, on air, making space on each station's website and then throughout our social media. We have a little bit of work that needs to be done with the Pacifica Foundation itself, social media pages. They seem to be assigned to someone who doesn't work here any longer. So I've been working and trying to get in touch with Facebook to try to confirm who that individual is, because they're not responding to any of the contact emails or phone calls that are connected with our foundation social media. And I don't want to have to start a new Facebook page, but that may be something that we need to do. And it may be something too that we just create social media pages that are specifically Pacifica Foundation elections. That might be the fastest and easier way to go. As I said earlier, I have had conversations with the general managers. We will talk about it again at our next upcoming general manager meeting, but we're hoping that, you know, in around June that we will then have that company or, you know, foundation-wide or station-wide membership drive. And at that point, if we, you know, we're looking to start a GoFundMe page to help cover the cost of the elections. And again, that membership drive will encourage people to make sure that their memberships are up to date, renew their memberships and become members so they can have a voice. And then that will help raise funds as well as increase the numbers. Toward the end of June, we then are, you know, we'll have a final call for end membership to make sure that they are eligible to run for office and or vote. So we'll be able to finish that whole membership drive campaign throughout the month of June. And then the goal then is through July to then be able to have that nomination process going on. And then we would have very active promotion on air, website, social media at all of our stations and have that election page truly up and running. We would then have candidate recertification, I'm assuming sometime early in August. And then by mid to late August, we'll be able to have those candidate statements and the survey answers, you know, the same set of questions that will be given to the candidates as they can answer with their viewpoints. We will have those to be able to be collected and again, post those on the website so people can take, you know, take a look at those. And, then that would get us, we'll have, you know, voting instructions on the website. You know, have check boxes if people need or, you know, an email that they can call or email that they can send or call if they need a paper ballot. We're definitely going to encourage electronic, but we know we don't obviously want to take anybody out of the opportunity to vote. So we're going to, of course, have those paper ballots, available. We'll create a deadline for anybody that needs a paper ballot that most likely will be in early October with our balloting, open during the month of October. Our voting closing at the end of October, and then we'll go and have all of our results announced and ready by November.
Okay.
So is there any... Jack?
Yeah, sure.
We have a stack. It's Eric, Myla, and now Carol.
Okay, so Eric? Go ahead. Eric?
Go ahead. Yes, I'm sorry, I had to unmute. I was wanting to propose a name to Stephanie. I hope it's not inappropriate. I don't think it puts him on the spot. But Stephanie, have you considered approaching any of the past election supervisors? I have one person in particular in mind who served in the first decade of this century. I guess we can talk in those terms now about, I think it was 2000, after 2005, but for 2010. His name is Casey Peters. Wonderful guy. First met when we were both candidates back in the day in the 90s for a public office. Los Angeles Community College District Board of Trustees. And we got to know each other a little bit then. And I noticed that he was, been through, a difficult election supervisor role in that 2005 to 2010 period. And so he knows Pacifica's culture and I think he'd be excellent. Have you thought about him, and asking, assuming he's alive and well, which I presume he is. I'm not friends with him or anything nowadays, but him or others who have volunteered in the past and or been paid in the past but might be willing to volunteer now or at least defer their salaries, but go ahead and take on the job.
No, but if anybody has any contact information, we don't have a lot of great records. I can dig through some of the archived emails to see what we – you know, have regarding the elections, but I will definitely write his name down. And if anybody has any contact information for people, they can definitely let me know, or at least forward a name, and then I can try to do some research and try to find them. But no, I appreciate that.
Casey, C-A-S-E-Y, Peters, conventional spelling.
Thanks. Thank you.
Okay, Myra?
Oh, Stephanie, I really want to thank you for that. A very detailed timeline, and I'm hoping that you have a written copy of the timeline that you could provide to the committee members?
Yes.
Great.
Okay.
And, really good work, and I appreciate it very much.
Okay. Kel?
Oh, yeah. Stephanie, thank you so much for that also. I just really appreciate the challenge of trying to do this with very little money. My question is, I had listened to some of the April 11th National Finance Committee meeting, and there was some discussion at that meeting about one of the problems of identifying staff lists for unpaid staff and the way that those are documented. And I wonder how, if there is a system that is going to, because, you know, be established for volunteer staff who, you know, don't have, I think it was mentioned at that meeting that there are not currently timelines, time cards, you know, the way a paid staff person would have. So, that was my question.
Yes, and those are conversations that I have had with the general managers, because some of the producers use individuals that don't necessarily even come into the station or were not aware of the work that they're doing. So there have been requests that have been put out to, you know, some of the general managers have put out requests to some of the producers to make sure that they give us a list of everyone that has worked on any sort of program, and then determining how many hours that person will have needed to work and for how many months. So we can make sure that we have a fair determination across the board, and not just all of a sudden people saying, you know, oh, here's 15 people that worked on my show last week for an hour, so they can get the ability to vote. So we're making sure that, you know, if there's anything that is written in guidelines that follow that, that we make sure that we do that across the board for every staff member.
Yeah, I had heard somebody say something about that. You know, for a half an hour show that they recognize two producers. So I wondered, is there any formula that you're aware of for that?
Not that I am aware of. It varies per show. There was just something that I was listening to today on one of the stations, and when they gave the credits at the end, there were probably 15 names that they named. So, you know, that's kind of what we need to determine, is what really constitutes a staff member, volunteer, you know, for a program. And again, how many hours will that person have worked over the span of the last, you know, 3 months, 6 months, year? Do we follow their hours the same way that we would follow the hours, you know, or the timeline for a member?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Eleanor, you're next.
How long have you been working on the lists?
I put an original request for the lists probably in, I would say, close to about February. And a lot of it in the very beginning was just my own curiosity, because I want lists of who our donors are for pure stewardship and cultivation purposes. So my original wanting to get clean lists and access to who our donors are. I also wanted lapsed donors and people that needed to renew, annual donors that were now regular, you know, on maybe just a one-time donor versus a sustaining donor. So my original request for a lot of these lists was back then. And then that has segued into, as long as we're getting those lists for donor purposes, then we will start to use those lists as a starting point for our camp, for our election.
Okay. Thank you.
I think Eleanor didn't finish hers, and I think Lila's ahead of me.
A related question about the lists. A group wanted access to not to have the names, but to have a mailing, an email, e-blast, I think it's called, sent out about a town hall and about trying to encourage people to run for the elections. and they were denied access. And you can't have fair elections if people who are trying to get people to run for elections can't have access to the list. I mean, you know, can't send out an e-blast. I mean, when I say access to the list, I don't mean that they would be able to see it, but that they could send things out to the listeners.
Well, that's one of the things too that also needs to be determined because, sorry, Alexa's going off. That's one of the things too that we need to determine because, there is a cost to sending out an e-blast. And I personally want to make sure, just as I've looked, you know, at some of the history of elections in the past, we have had issues when lists are used to send out, postcards and e-blasts, whether hard copy or an e-blast, and even the e-blast costs money to do that. In that any sort of, it can be that people that have the money to pay for a fancier postcard or people that have the money to pay for more e-blasts might make it unfair for individuals who are groups that may not have the funding to pay for e-blasts. So I would like to propose that we have a set number of e-blasts that are going out that are handled completely by Pacifica Foundation itself. The look of the e-blasts are all the same. So we have the everything set across the board. Of course, people will be able to, you know, look at those prior to see what the general branding of that is. And then they will be set out, they will be mailed out on certain days. Any sort of emails that go out in general, if somebody wants to use a list at this point, they need to incur the costs of that e-blast and they need to have any sort of verbiage approved by myself and our legal counsel, as well as the general design. And then what has happened in the past is then that goes to the mailing house. They tweak it if they need to for the mailing. And then even before they send it out, it once again needs to come back for approval by myself and legal counsel.
The problem is that you and Arthur Schwartz refused to give permission to allow this group to seek people to run. You said it was because some of the people in it were in a lawsuit, but that, you know, those are some individuals, not the entire group. And if the group cannot try to recruit people to run, then how can there be fair elections? I would hope you would think that.
Point of personal privilege.
Go ahead, Susan.
Yeah, this ED has not conducted an election. So if those decisions were made, it was not by Stephanie.
Okay. I think that, Eleanor had quite a bit of questions. Who's next on the stack? Is it Myra?
Yes.
Yes, it is me. And, your proposal about guidelines for mailings and e-blasts is interesting, and I think I would like to see that proposal in writing. It doesn't sound like something that I am necessarily in favor of. It sounds somewhat problematic, but I would like to have an opportunity to see it in writing and to review it. As I said, it's not something that sounds like I would support. Just from your initial introduction of it, but I had raised my hand prior to you mentioning that. I wanted to just get some clarification. You said something about a Facebook page, and I wondered, is that a Facebook page for Pacifica generally or for the elections process or what? And I'm not really sure whether, I mean, we have 5 radio stations. So for purposes of this election, it seems to me like Pacifica has means of getting to the listening audience without doing it on Facebook. But you know, it just sounds like something that it shouldn't be. I have mixed feelings about it. And I know that, I mean, I am on Facebook, but I have mixed feelings about it. So is it a Pacifica page or an elections page, or what is it that you're referring to that we don't have, the password for or control of?
Each station has their own Facebook page, and they utilize, some of them utilize it more than others. Since there are following or followers already on some of the social media, it makes sense that we do outreach for membership and the elections, as many ways possible as we can to try to encourage the number of people that become members of the foundation. The Pacifica Foundation has a Facebook page, but when you click on contact the foundation, it goes to an email of someone that it's not even a Pacifica.org email address. So I have emailed that person and tried to contact them, to no avail, asking who they are and who owns this page. So I believe that somebody probably set up the page quite a long time ago. And there are some people that, you know, sometimes have used personal email addresses or, you know, personal phone numbers to set up something in the best of, you know, intention. But then if they're no longer involved with Pacifica, then it becomes a problem if we're trying to contact or use that resource at a later date and that person is no longer involved with us. But if Facebook Foundation Facebook page was something that we wanted to use as well as the station's social media pages to outreach our community, then rather than having to deal with Facebook and figuring out who was the owner of the Pacifica Foundation Facebook page, then something could be created, another page that was just for elections only.
Good. Okay. Thank you. Susan?
Yeah. First, I would like to thank Eric. Eric, what a great contribution. And then I'd like to challenge everybody on this committee and everyone you know to come forward with recommendations about people who could be NESs. I would particularly like to hear that from those who think that we are failing in our duties until we name an NES. And then I would like those folks to come forward with resources to be able to pay for that. So thank you, Eric, for leading the way.
Okay, thank you. Carol Wolfrey.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I had a couple questions for Stephanie. And one comment was that I really like the idea of trying to level the playing field in terms of the email blasts, because I think that, you know, for at KPFA, because we have so many members, you know, it could cost $7,000 or $8,000 to send out a postcard. Well, an individual cannot afford that. So what that means is for someone to run, they really have to be with a faction. And so then that encourages like more competition in the factions during the elections. So I think the more we can level the playing fields for individuals to run, it can help. And to keep things, you know, clear and to have checks so that there isn't defamation and slander going on. And another concern is that there isn't not only slander against or libel against other candidates, but that we don't have, you know, misinformation being spread about employees of Pacifica. And so those kinds of issues. And just another comment is that I hope that the election, this election could also take into consideration, like last time we had an election, but then we had a bylaws election following that immediately. And that was a problem because, you know, that was two elections. And then we had following that a lot of legal work that was done because there wasn't an election to have a name change for Pacifica. So they had to go through a lot of like standing on their head practically to, be able to, make that change without a membership vote. So one thing I would recommend is that whatever needs to be voted on by the members, and there may be bylaws changes coming out of the governance committee or other things. So I hope that we can plan ahead so that it could all be done through one process instead of different processes, because then it costs a lot more money.
Okay, thank you. Any more questions for Stephanie? Okay, well, thank you, everybody.
Okay.
What's that? Who is it?
May I be recognized as Jack?
Oh, yeah, sure, Jack. I don't. Okay, go ahead.
It's all right. I was late to the button. I'm sorry. I apologize to you as well. I had heard that the concern would be the local representatives of the election, because that would be the one where we would need to literally hire people. And I also heard that the need to get those lists together might require somebody that's knowledgeable in allegiance in the other shops of the network. Anything to say about that? Because that's really that's the groundwork. That's the preliminaries. As I was saying before, those are the things that'll make it straight ahead. Thank you.
Right, the lists are definitely coming from allegiance, and not every station utilizes allegiance to its full capacity, and that has been a concern for quite some time in general. With this, which is why I think we have somewhat of a difficult time when we're reaching out to lapsed donors, and how we have people that have monthly donations or a sustaining donation that, you know, all of a sudden we're not getting their funds anymore because they forgot that they needed to renew, and we haven't used allegiance properly to send them a little reminder that their funding is due, or a thank you, because their information hasn't really been put in. So that the lists would be coming from allegiance. If there's an org, if there's one of the divisions that doesn't quite use allegiance, and would be using the donor management software that they have. As far as the local election supervisors, yes, that's a whole other concern as well. What we were hoping is that when we were reaching out to some of these organizations, that would give us, allow us, or they'd be wanting to do the national election supervisor, that we would be able to pull some individuals that could serve as local election supervisors from chapters from some of those organizations in each of these cities. So that is definitely, you know, something that we're having to find as well.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. This is Myla.
Okay. Go ahead, Myla.
Stephanie, I'm just wondering, you know, I was just reminded of California Corporation Code. Requires any nonprofit to allow communication to the members, not giving the members a list per se, but allowing the members to go through a mailing house in order to advocate on any issue of interest to the members, including delegate elections. And it sounds to me like Pacifica might be overreaching and actually in violation of that California Corporation Code, which I will try to get to you, that does spell out the circumstances under which the nonprofit is obligated to allow people to communicate to the members again about issues or such as elections that are of interest to the members. So I think Pacifica might be overreaching by trying to curtail that.
Hear, hear.
Well, I think a lot too is that when I look, you know, I'm open obviously to people's comments and suggestions, you know, as Susan pointed out, I have not done a Pacifica election before. This is all something new to me. So, you know, all I'm basing thoughts, they're not set in stone, I hope to be, they can be discussed and that suggestions are received. Is that concerns with some of the elections in the past have been that groups that have money can pay for these e-blasts or mailings. They can hire marketing companies. They can get fancy designed, you know, newsletters that maybe have, you know, video embedded into it. They can get glossy postcards. And if they had the backing and the funding, they could be sending out postcards and e-blasts weekly. Someone who does not have access to those funds, maybe they can't send anything out at all. So now we're having some concerns that those that have the means have a better chance of being elected than those who do not. So those have been questions and concerns about what have happened in the past, that those that have money can promote unlimited and those that don't cannot. So I just want to make sure that we are all open-minded and allowing everyone who wants to run to have the opportunity to send out as much information and reach as many people as possible.
Okay. Those are the kind of things that we can discuss in the committee. Eric, go ahead.
So I'd like to commend Stephanie for that train of thought. Since there's been skepticism expressed about it, I want Stephanie to know that, you know, speaking for myself and perhaps others on this committee, I don't know, that I think you're on the right track there. There's a very famous description that anyone can Google, and you don't have to be it was said by Karl Marx, but you don't have to be a, quote, Marxist, unquote, to appreciate it. It's called The Power of Money, and it's a brilliant exposition of the what can be the perverse power of money to, you know, essentially create false impressions of all kinds. And I'd like Pacifica to be a leader in fair elections, and it's been part of our national recent history, starting in the late 60s. Campaign finance reform is premised on the idea that elections should not be, go to the highest, those with the most money to spend on them in terms of advertising. There was a famous book called The Buying of the President. Was that the title? It was said about Nixon's campaign in 68 and so on. So we don't want Madison Avenue tactics and, the kind of thing that you were describing, Stephanie, to win the day in Pacifica elections. We're a humble organization of people who all consider ourselves, on the side of the angels, the better angels of our society's nature. And we need to do this in a thoughtful and decent manner. I think the faction issue is a big one. And I think there should be also an ability of people not affiliated with factions to have a fighting chance to put out their ideas and have them be heard and not be drowned out by the mailings of various factions, and two in particular that I seem to be dominating Pacific elections in recent history. So I'd like that your train of thought there, and I hope you continue to not be deterred from trying to make Pacific an example of fairness to the best of our ability. Thank you.
Okay. I think we sort of extended out of time on this. The two people in the stack, is it okay if we close the discussion with exhausting the stack? The two people. Okay, no objection. Then we have that. Erona, go ahead.
I'd like to ask, in October 2018, the NES canceled the elections because the membership lists were so corrupt and incomplete that he couldn't verify eligible candidates. So the question for Stephanie Wells is, what sampling methods will she be using in judging the material accuracy of the membership lists? What will be the scale of the sampling? And what experience has she had in sampling on this scale and in an exercise of this significance and not just its legal status?
Well, this is where I hope that by the time we get to the point that we are validating the certification of our candidates, we are validating our lists. By the time we get to that, we will be down into most likely, well, our close for the membership to be eligible to run for office and or vote would be June 30th. So my hope and intention is that by the time we reach into that July, August section where we have our candidate certification and we have our nomination process and that sort of thing, that we'll be able to have somebody that we have hired that will be able to go through that in a nonpartisan and more professional manner than what I could do.
You're waiting okay. That long?
Well, we're getting our lists that are coming in now and that we're sorting through the lists and just deduping them on a very easy basis. So it's like one group today, they sent in their list. It was close to 5,000 or 6,000 people. They noticed just as we looked at it that there were a lot of duplications. And so we've divided up the list into smaller groups and we're taking a look to dedupe the smaller breakdown of the lists that we have. And then trying to clean it up in allegiance. And a lot of this is also problematic, not just with elections, but as we deal with our donors. You know, if we have information that is duplicated with our donors or we don't have a correct email address or we don't have a correct phone number, that's why we're not getting a lot of the cultivation and the stewardship that we need for our donors. So this cleanup, I know this is the election committee, but the cleanup of this list in long term is the importance is not just for the elections. I'm not saying that the elections aren't important, but it's extremely vital that we have better data on all of our donors for pure donor cultivation and stewardship. So that's where we're working at. We don't have the ability or the funds to be able to hire a company that can come in and start working on cleaning out our lists. We have to deal with our staff, our membership department, and do what we need to do to get our lists clean so we can be in better contact with our donors.
Okay, thank you so much. Well, Stephanie, thank you so much for answering all the questions. I think there was pretty extensive Q&A. Susan?
Motion to adjourn.
Okay. Is there any suggestion as to the next meeting or would go
we,
with
we what? Have the next meeting already scheduled, I think.
Okay. Is there any?
I had wanted to put the other thing on the agenda.
Motion to adjourn is not debatable.
Okay. So is there any objections to adjourning?
I object.
Okay.
I object also.
Okay. Here. All right. So let's take, Susan, why don't you take a vote?
Great. Okay. Adjourn. Okay. So Mr. Chair, I believe voting yes is to adjourn. Voting right. No is to continue. Right. Teresa Allen.
May I ask a point of information before we begin the voting?
Yeah, go ahead.
I see that the next schedule, I think the next scheduled meeting is June 7th.
Right.
Right? Is that correct?
Yes. Yes, okay. It is.
Okay. I'll say yes to adjourn.
Violetta.
Yes.
Jack DePalma.
Yay.
Vanessa Dixon Briggs.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Mm. Yes.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Mm. Are you okay? Do you need a Heimlich?
Sounds like it.
That's what it sounded like. Okay. Eleanor Elizabeth Foreman.
Nay.
Okay. Eric Jacobson.
No.
Okay. Avalia, are you with us? Lily Kimura.
Yes.
Matt. Sean Kelly McPherson. We're not with it. Myla.
Yes, to adjourn.
Sean Rhodes.
Yes.
Minerva Sanders.
Yes.
Akio. Aki.
Yes.
Carol Wolfley.
Yes.
Susan Young, yes. So we have, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 yeses, 2 noes, and 2 didn't vote.
Okay. So thank you, everybody.